Let us stand for the reading of the Gospel, Matthew 28, verses 1 to 10. Together we read, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.' So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There you will see me.'" The Gospel of our Lord. Before the sermon, let us sing two times, "Lord, let my heart be good soil." My heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil, where love can grow and peace is understood. When my heart is hard, break the stone away. When my heart is cold, warm it with the day. When my heart is lost, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil. Let my heart be good soil, open to the seed of your word. Lord, let my heart be good soil. When my heart is hard, when my heart is cold, warm it with the day. Lord, I know, lead me on your way. Lord, let my heart, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
Heavenly Father, that's our prayer. Let our hearts be good soil. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. However, just because you're sitting on quilts doesn't mean it's time to take a nap. Isn't it wonderful? Aren't these quilts wonderful? Yeah. Who worked on these quilts? If you worked on these quilts in any way, stand up. Any way. Look at that. Hey. Thank you so much from the people throughout the world who will be receiving these quilts. You are letting the love of Christ come out of your hearts. Two times we hear this phrase in this gospel text. The first time, the angel said to the women, what? Be not, what? Afraid. And towards the end of the text, those same words are heard again. This time they're spoken to, from Jesus to the disciples. The words, what? Do not be afraid. These are thy holy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth, for thy word is eternal truth. Amen. It was Monday after Easter, 1969. It was my dad on the line calling me in Vancouver, Washington, saying, come home as quickly as you can. The next day, I flew to Minneapolis. My father-in-law, who lives north of Minneapolis in St. Cloud, picked me up, took me down to Iowa, where I watched my mother go downhill, inch by inch. And 4 days later, on Saturday, my never-a-sick-day-in-her-life mother passed away. It was 48 years and 6 days ago that I said goodbye to my mother, 1969. Easter Day always rekindles fond memories of my mom. She didn't get to go to church that last Easter in her life. Undoubtedly the only Easter in her entire life that she was unable to worship her Lord and her Savior. And so every Easter, it's very important for me not to miss church. I wouldn't think of it. Today, I go to church, not only for myself, but also for my mom. I knew that's what she'd want me to do. It's not easy to say goodbye to loved ones. Many of you have done that this past, some of you have done that this past year. These past few years, I've been doing it all too often. And I know the same goes for many of you. Even like yesterday, when Pete and Carol Beckett's brother-in-law passed away unexpectedly back in Ohio. We say goodbye to parents, to grandparents, to spouses, to children, to siblings, to relatives, to neighbors, to friends. When we get age-wise to where many of us are, saying goodbye keeps happening over and over and over again, and it feels like it happens all too often. It's not recorded in the scriptures how Jesus' disciples said their goodbyes to Jesus after their dinner with him the night on which he was betrayed. At best, their goodbyes were probably awkward, considering what two of their own had done, Judas's betrayal and Peter's denial. Scripture, however, does record the fact that none of them were at the foot of the cross to say goodbye the day their friend Jesus passed away. Their goodbyes were no doubt not even made because they obviously didn't understand where all of this was leading. Even before his death, they must have been somewhat afraid, those 12 disciples, for they were not in the mainstream of culture, but going against it, upstream, against the Jewish and Roman culture of their day. And after his resurrection, they must have been even more afraid, fearing repercussions of following someone whom was suspected to have risen from the dead. Simply make no mistakes about it. It was a fearful time, Easter morning, for the followers of Jesus. There were many opposed to Jesus. The high priests, Pilate, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Romans who were in control government-wise, and all the Jews in general. It was for the 12 disciples a fearful time. Ever wondered what the disciples were doing on Good Friday after their Thursday dinner party with Jesus? Ever wondered what the disciples did while Jesus was being scrutinized by Caiaphas and by Pilate? Where were they? Ever wondered what the disciples were doing even early Sunday morning, when Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, came to them with the news that Jesus was no longer in the tomb? They only found some grave cloths. It was a fearful time, Easter morning, and the sensitive Jesus knew that they were having some fears about it. And so what did he say? First to the two women, "Do not be afraid." Then what did he say to the disciples? "Do not be afraid." What makes this Easter morning so intriguing for me? Let me read it to you. What happened after the resurrection? "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee." You know, that's the tail end of our gospel text this morning. He said, "Go to Galilee." "Now they went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw Jesus, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority is given to me. Go, therefore.'" It's a great commission. Matthew, the last chapter. "Go, therefore, and make" what? "Disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to" what? "Observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you" what? "Always, to the close of the age." Did you catch what I caught in that reading? It can easily be overlooked. "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some" what? "Doubt." Imagine that. Even yet, his closest followers, his chosen disciples, still still had some doubts. One might think that following Jesus' resurrection, being a follower of Jesus, would be a slam dunk. Nothing to it. But not so. But not so. Even yet, even after everything they had witnessed firsthand, even his resurrection, doubts still lingered. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Who doesn't have some doubts along life's way? I'll never forget it. A woman from Chicago, Mrs. Keller, who spent her summers at her beautiful lake home in my northern Wisconsin parish, who never missed a Sunday's worship service. Mrs. Keller, we all knew her. She said, "Pastor Salmonson," that's what she called me, "I never doubt. I only believe." Bless her heart. It's never been that easy for me. Bless her heart. Man, do I believe. I would have turned in my clerical collars long ago for a plumber's license if I didn't believe. If I didn't believe what I've been doing these past 54 years, long ago, I would have become a master plumber. But it doesn't mean that I've been or ever will be a Mrs. Keller who only believes and never doubts. And so I find comfort in knowing that even those closest to Jesus, yes, even Simon Peter, who denied knowing Jesus, was maybe one of those disciples who still had some moments of doubt, just like I do, and maybe some of you. It wasn't easy watching my mother die. Diagnosed by a cardiologist as having had a silent heart attack, but which we later learned had not been a heart attack at all, but a ruptured colon. My mother passed away all too young, needlessly, at the age of 63. Of gangrene poison, and no one knew it. Those 4 days, as we stood by her bedside, while all of her sisters lived into their 90s, and even Aunt Anna lived to be 101. We have good genes, my mother's side of the family. It was a fearful time when my mom died. It was one of my doubting times. It was a sad goodbye time. A goodbye that medically, had we known, could have been avoided. Yet, it was a goodbye that carries with it a wonderful ending, because it's not an ending at all, but a beginning. I believe that. I believe that with my whole heart and soul and mind and strength and everything that I am, because my minor moments of doubt have always been overcome by God's lifelong gift of faith. I believe. I believe. God's gift of faith to me has given me the strength to believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. I believe that he lives, that even though my good mother has died, she will live again. I believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, that those who believe in him shall never die, but will live, and that everyone who believes in him shall never, never die. My mother passed away April 12th, 1969. It's a long time ago. 7 months later, on November 12th, 1969, I think I misquoted. My mother died in, it was in 1969 that my mother died, but 7 months later, on November 12th, my father wrote in an antique diary whose initial entries are dated 1939, making some very interesting comments about her two-year-old son. That's me, which I feel no compulsion to share. Thirty years after my mother's entries, my father wrote these words, which I think, I made a mistake there. My manuscript's all screwed up. Just a few days after my mother's death, my father found that antique diary and opened it up and found an empty page in which he wrote these words, which I think he was hoping that someday his three children would find. And I think I've shared that with you once before, but it's such a meaningful thing from my father that I must share it again. My dad wrote to my family, "Mother passed away on April 12th, was laid to rest April 15th. May we, as her family, have that faith in him who died for us. For he has said, whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life." Signed, Dad. I didn't know that my dad could write something like that. I didn't know that my dad was versed in scriptures the way that obviously he was. He was a farmer, never went to school beyond third grade, and he was a Norwegian. Who didn't often express himself? To my family, may we as her family have that faith in him as my good wife had. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. As Christians, it's not a goodbye, but it's an "I'll see you around the corner" farewell. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. I hope to never miss an Easter worship service. I haven't yet. I hope I never will. For I'm not only going for my mom, but I'm going for my dad. And even more importantly, I'm going for me. Because that's what my mom and dad taught me to do. And I know that's where they want me to be, with you today. This is the 500th anniversary of the birth of the Lutheran Church. In choosing a hymn for today on this glad Easter morning, I decided it was only fitting that we close the sermon time this morning with this wonderful hymn written by Martin Luther, standing and singing our hearts out. On Easter morning, a mighty fortress is our God. Let's stand. Mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. He breaks the cruel oppressor's rod and wins salvation glorious. The old satanic foe sworn to work us woe with craft and dreadful might. He arms himself to fight. On earth he hath no equal. No strength of ours can match his might. We would be lost, rejected. But now a champion comes to light, whom God himself elected. You ask who this may be? The Lord of hosts is he. Christ Jesus, mighty Lord, God's only Son adored. He holds the field victorious. The hordes of devils fill the land, all threatening to devour us. We tremble not, unmoved we stand. They cannot overpower us. Let this world's tyrant rage. In battle we'll engage. His might is doomed to fail. God's judgment must prevail. One little word subdues him. God's word forever shall abide. No thanks to foes who fear it. For God himself fights by our side with weapons of the Spirit. Were they to take our house, good honor, child or spouse, though life be wrenched away, they cannot win the day. The kingdom's ours forever.